The question today is, what can God do for a sinner in the narrow way? And this is the fourth part on this question. Well, you can get the other parts on tape or CD. You'll contact us, or they're archived on our website, thepersuader.org. What can he do for a sinner? And a sinner is one who has reached the knowledge of accountability, but is not yet saved. Theologically, that's the only one God calls sinner in his word. Once you've been saved, he calls you a saint at the instant of salvation. And of course, the word can means I know God can do all things, but he works in every man according as his purpose is in that man's life. So he can do these things. That doesn't say he does all these things in every person's life, but he can do them. And of course, the narrow way is the narrow way that leads to the straight gate is where life is at. And so therefore, we it's not after one's been saved, it's what can God do for sinners in the narrow way. And as we looked at that and discussed that, we'll sort of recap just a moment, if you please. He awakens him. That may cause him to turn to the narrow way. He helps him get honest about his condition, his depraved nature, his need, and the deliverer. He loves him. He even loves the lost man in the broad way. So how much is he going to love man in the narrow way any less? He teaches man, as Psalms 25:8 says, he'll teach sinners in the way, the narrow way. And he works all things together for ultimate good. For all those that he foreknew was going to be saved, he does that. And he also gives understanding, which is necessary for one to be saved. He also changes from natural fleshly man to that of being not natural, and that causes him to seek the Lord in the narrow way. He answers prayer in the narrow way, at least the prayers that according to his will, that and there may be there for the purpose of letting man know that God is, so he will exist. He exists so that he will seek the Lord. Now, many people say, well, I know I'm saved because I've answered prayer. Well, I've showed you how, and I've got other messages on that message alone that we'd be glad to send you. Listen, don't prop on an answered prayer because the devil can answer your prayer. God may answer other men's prayer. So it's not something you can prop on, but God does answer your prayer in the narrow way. He causes you to worship the Lord. He produces fear in your heart. He places love inside your heart. And something else today, as we go a little further on this fourth part, he grants faith. Examples, Timothy, whenever Timothy first comes on the scene as far as being on the scene, Acts 16:1, then came he to Debra and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. In other words, Paul meets Timotheus for the first time, and he called him a disciple. Now, all disciples called disciples were not saved. Timothy wasn't saved. But he said he was the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek. He had a certain amount of faith. You see, intellectual faith will lead to a seeking faith, will bring you to a saving faith. He believed enough he was looking for something, but yet Timothy was not saved. But we know that God grants in the narrow way faith to believe that God is, faith to believe he will do something for you. And of course, we know that Timothy was Paul's convert and son in the ministry, so it means he wasn't saved until after Paul met him. Now, Hebrews 11:8 speaks about Abraham when he was back in the Ur of Chaldees. He said, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out not knowing whether he went. But he left by faith, he said. And in other words, it had to be an intellectual faith that led to a seeking faith, for it was 41 years, possibly, before Abraham was genuinely saved in Genesis 15:6. We have other messages dealing with that. But he grants faith in the narrow way. You ought to be thankful for that. Whether it's intellectual or whatever it is, it's faith that you might come to a saving faith and be saved. I'll tell you something else he does for sinners in the narrow way. He gives hope. And that's a desire of something good with the expectation of finding it. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, God's got to grant you that hope to know that he'll reward you if you'll seek him. That means he'll bring you to the straight gate. He'll grant you the faith, the saving faith, that you might be saved. Hebrews 11:10, talking about Abraham, for he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker's God, and it moved him through life. So you realize something as we think about this. This hope comes through the Scripture. Romans 15:4, he said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That's why we need to read the Old Testament Scripture. Many people don't have enough foundation of the Old Testament Scripture to have the hope they need. It comes through the Scripture, and it tells, in other words, those Scriptures tells us the good and tells us the bad. But it still gives a sinner hope that the Lord will do something. And now, we think about Romans chapter 4, verse number 20. It says about Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving God the glory. And many people talk about that being at the time that he was, back when he was, Ur of Chaldees is what they want to think about. But no, he was nearly 100 years old. This was at the time when Isaac was born to him, he staggered not. But before that, Abraham staggered. Why, even after he was saved, in Genesis 15:6, he went into Hagar and tried to help God out. And he staggered. In Genesis 17:15-18, God came to him in Genesis 17 and appeared to him as the Almighty, the multi-breasted one. And in verse 15, and told him he's going to have a seed. And Sarah, of course, laughed. But he said, and God said unto Abram, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt call her name Sarai. Not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Even Abraham laughed and said in his heart, he's staggering at the promise of God, even though he believed it enough for salvation in Genesis 15:6. Now, we're talking about 14 years later down the road, if you please, when he's 99 years old, and he laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And God spoke to him and gave him hope, if you please, and he hoped against hope, and he staggered not at the promise of God, as it said in Romans chapter 4, verse number 20. Staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but strong in faith, giving glory to God. And from that point on, we see Abraham not staggering anymore. So it gives you hope. God can give you hope in the narrow way that leads to the straight gate. And folks, there is hope as long as there's an open door, a striving spirit, and a preacher of righteousness. And we have that today. It may not be striving with you as much as you want, but you need to cry out and watch God strive with you. And He'll send the instrument of righteousness, the preacher of righteousness across your path. Something else that He'll do for a sinner in the narrow way is He'll speak to you. Oh, you say, but God doesn't show a lost man anything. Now, you've got that wrong. I mean, He'll speak to you in the way. And Abraham, Jacob, and Samuel were examples of this. I know He spoke to Abraham when he was a lost man, gave him a promise, enlarged His promise from time to time. He spoke to Jacob at Genesis chapter there when he dealt with met God at the ladder, but yet he wasn't saved for 20 years later. And God spoke to him. He spoke to Samuel very, very clear. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 7, when God spoke, He said, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord revealed unto him, but yet God spoke to him three times that night. And so God speaks to sinners on the narrow way. Now, His way of speaking may be that He uses the Word of God to quicken it to you. The Bible said in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's word for word is utterance. And God's got to speak to you. He's got to make the Word real to you. You just can't name a verse and claim it. You take a verse and put your finger on it and say, that's mine. That's God speaking to me. It's not going to work. It's just ink on paper. It's got to be quickened to you. And a preacher can preach truth to you and tell you exactly right. But until God quickens to you, it's not coming from God to you. And you need that. And He will speak to you, though. And it'll be clear where you'll understand what God's doing on the narrow way after you've been awakened, as He gives you the understanding you need and brings you toward the straight gate that you might be saved. I'll tell you something else that God will do for sinners in the narrow way. He'll allow you to taste of some things of God. The Bible said in Psalms 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that tasteth in Him. Folks, it's one thing to taste and it's another thing to partake. You need to taste, and God allows you to taste to where you want more of Him. That's why you'll love Him. Agape love will come inside. That's why you'll desire Him. That's why you'll seek Him. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 4 and 6, it said here, for it's impossible for those, that's the key word, meaning those that's lost, who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put Him to an open shame. So He said it's impossible for those who've tasted, if they fall away. That means to utterly fall away and be overcome, if you please, to the point they can't get back. They cannot ever come to repentance again. You see, He said you can taste the heavenly gift. And people do that on the narrow way. As they get in services where God moves. They go along with the Spirit. Being partakers of the Spirit means go along with the Spirit. And you may go along the path of understanding and God show you some things, and yet you can still turn. But oh, He'll carry you down the narrow way. You can taste of the good Word of God. You can taste of the powers of the world to come. That's His manifested power in some Spirit-filled service. And oh, that stirs your heart, desiring the Lord. That's God's goodness to you, to lead you to repentance, to lead you to the straight gate, to lead you to life. And so therefore He does these things for you in the narrow way. I'll tell you something else He can do. He can call you into a special service, if you please. Judas Iscariot is an example of that. The Bible says about Judas Iscariot that he called him. Now God knew what he was doing. Now you say, but that's a man, that's an apostle, it's a different thing. It doesn't matter. I'll tell you, He still called him and He put His power on him. He also called Jeremiah. The Bible said in Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." He in essence said, "Before I formed thee, before you was even conceived in the womb, I called you to be my prophet." And even though Jeremiah didn't know about it, there come a time that had to be actually an actuality in his life, a reality in his life, where the calling came to him. But still, God does call sinners, if you please. Lost men, if you please, He calls them. Another example is Samuel, when we just read about. He spoke plain to him when He called him and said to him, in other words, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 4 through verse number 8, He said, in other words, it talked about the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." It was that plain that he thought Eli was calling him. And Eli said, "I call not, lie down again." And he went and lay down, and the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call not, my son, lie down again. Here am I, for thou didst call me." He answered, "I call not, my son, lie down again." And now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Tells us plain he was a lost man, but the Lord called him again the third time. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. God can call sinners in the narrow way that leads to the straight gate. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.